When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was with him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said by him. Then Simeon blessed him, and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also the prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Well, keep Luke chapter 2 open in front of you. It's the what happened next part of the Bible, isn't it? We're very familiar with the first part of Luke chapter 2 from the Christmas stories, and got a chance to look at this next little episode. So why don't I pray for God's help as we do so. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into the face of Christ, we might see something more of your glory. Might we see with the eyes of Simeon and Anna as we consider them this morning, that we might grow in love for you and in our desire to follow you over this coming year. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Well, for New Year, we're heading down to Becca's parents, and I expect at some point on New Year's Eve, we'll be asked what our plans for 2020 might be. I can remember last year that Becca said that her big plan for 2019 was to climb Helvellyn, and we did that as a family, so she could tick that one off. I don't know if you're the kind of person who makes plans like that. When you're younger, you just sort of think, oh yeah, what do I want to do with my life? I'm getting to this sort of age in life, I think, where it sort of turns from plans for life into bucket list, the things you want to do before you die. Sort of notice the shift there from living to dying, as it were. But today, in this passage, we meet Simeon, don't we? Probably not a particularly familiar character to many of us. He's one of those hidden heroes of the Bible. His appearance is short, but very important for us to look at. And I think it's fair to say that he had one thing on his bucket list, and today we see him getting to tick that off, don't we? So we're going to look very carefully at what he says in this passage, and he basically says sort of two speeches, and we're going to think about them in our 2 points. So first of all, Jesus brings salvation, joy, and peace. Well, we pick up the story in verse 22, don't we? The time comes for the purification rites required by the law of Moses. And so Joseph and Mary take the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer those sacrifices which were due for a firstborn son. You can read all about them in the Old Testament if you'd like to. Basically, Jesus is 40 days old at this point, so this is before the events of the Magi visiting and Herod and all of that, already in verse 21, Mary and Joseph have circumcised Jesus in accordance with the law when he was a week old on the eighth day, and now they're taking him to Jerusalem to offer the requisite sacrifices. And as they enter into the temple precincts, this old man comes running up to them. "Please, may I hold your baby?" Well, I think by this point, Mary's probably quite used to unusual people wandering up to her, having been visited by a whole bunch of, as we now know, smelly shepherds, if you're watching the junior church nativity. I expect maybe she was a little harder to shock, but it's still quite strange to be approached by someone presumably she'd never met before, asking to hold her baby. And she wouldn't have been expecting what Simeon was about to do, certainly. No wonder in verse 33, Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon said about their son. Because as Simeon takes the baby Jesus into his arms, remember just, 6 weeks old, he starts praising God. It says here, saying, maybe he even sang it. Certainly these are words that have been sung by Christians down through the ages. He begins praising God as he holds the baby. Why? Well, this is what he's been waiting for, hasn't he? Simeon, his whole life has lived in hope and expectation. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." "I can die happy," says Simeon. "This is what I was waiting for. This is all I needed to see of God and his goodness, of God fulfilling his promises." Literally, all his Christmases have come at once. These words sometimes are said at Christian funerals as well. Because Simeon now is happy to die, isn't he? Dismissing here is a very permanent thing that he's talking about. So what stands behind this? Well, we learn a little bit about Simeon, don't we? In verse 25, he was righteous and devout. He was a godly man. He was faithful. He seems to have known the scriptures, doesn't he? He seems to have known the Old Testament promises of God very, very well. That first reading that Caroline read to us, so familiar, isn't it? "For unto us a boy is born, unto us a son is given." He is holding the baby, and he looks into the baby's face, and he sees the gift of God. He's been helped, hasn't he, by God to understand these things. The Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He was so excited, like a child out waiting for Christmas Day. Because he knew what the Messiah would bring. He knew exactly the purpose of God sending his son into the world. That it was for the consolation of Israel. Bit of a funny phrase, isn't it? The consolation of Israel. Well, if you're consoling someone, you are comforting them, aren't you? That God would send his Messiah, the promised one, the chosen king, to comfort his people. Brings to mind more words from the prophet Isaiah. Here from Isaiah chapter 40. "Comfort," there it is, "console, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Simeon hadn't heard John the Baptist quoting those words, had he? And yet he makes the connection. He knows exactly who this baby is. Isaiah continues that a little later in chapter 42, speaking of the servant. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. As we'll see, Simeon understood those kind of things about the baby as well. And then yet more still later in Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to comfort, to console all who mourn. Simeon understood that that is why this baby had come into the world, to bring that comfort, that consolation of God to his people. And that is what stands behind the words that he sings or praises God with. For my eyes have seen your salvation. It's an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? All he has seen is a little baby. I guess who probably looked like an awful lot of other little babies who might have been in the temple at the time with their parents offering the requisite sacrifices for them too. But he knows that this is no ordinary baby. He knows that this is the one through whom God would save. He hadn't even asked the baby's name, but he already knew really that it was Jesus, didn't he? That God saves, and he is doing it through this child. And he knows that this is the servant of the Lord who has been sent into the whole world, not just for the consolation of Jerusalem, but your salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Yes, Jesus came to God's people Israel, and he was for their glory, but only that he might shine into the whole world with the light of the revelation of God. The light shining in the darkness. Not just... That wasn't planned at all. Nick, any ideas? They'll now be off for 5 minutes. They might come on. Sorry, for those listening today, the lights, most of the lights have just gone out. Maybe there's a little power cut or something. It's right, I've got my one light here at the front. I can carry on. You can sit in the darkness and I can reveal light to you. But no wonder Simeon is full of such joy. No wonder he was so desperate to get his hands on this baby. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, he knew that this was the one. It's extraordinary, isn't it? He didn't need any of the rest of the story of Jesus' life, which we are privileged to know. This was all he needed. Like that child, desperate for the Christmas presents. On Christmas morning, rips open the wrapping paper and eyes light up in wonder as the toy that they've been waiting for is there. And then all Boxing Day, you can sit there happily playing with the toy, at peace. All that waiting, that hope, that expectation over. Well, that is Simeon, isn't it? You can now dismiss your servant in peace. That sort of prompting of the Holy Spirit had engendered that sort of excitement and expectancy in his heart. Day by day, is this going to be the day? Is this going to be the day? Is this going to be the day? And now he is at peace. Peace with God. Peace with himself. Peace with the world. Do we know that joy, that peace that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we, as it were, stand alongside Simeon and share his sentiments, knowing that as we cradle the Lord Jesus in our hands, as we read about him in the Bible, do we know that joy, that peace, that satisfaction, that contentment, that comfort that he brings? Well, if we're not sure, we need to hear the second thing that Simeon has to say. Because if the first one would have sort of blown Mary and Joseph's brains off, then they really weren't expecting the second thing that Simeon then turns and says to Mary in verses 34 and following. Because Jesus brings division, heartbreak and hope. Jesus brings division, heartbreak and hope. And to know that joy and that peace that Simeon was speaking of, we have to get our heads around what Simeon had to say next as well. Because Simeon totally understands how Jesus is going to work. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Yes, he knows Jesus has come to bring salvation, God's rescue into the world. But that is not a rescue that is just sort of universally applied to all. No, it will come through heartbreak and hope. Jesus will be the cause of some to rise and some to fall. And that is what we see as we continue to read through the gospel accounts, as we continue to read through Luke's story, for example. We'll see all sorts of different reactions to Jesus. The reaction in Matthew of Herod, King Herod, who is disturbed by hearing about Jesus and only wants to kill him, compared with the wise men who, like Simeon, can't wait to meet Jesus. Later on in Jesus' life, the religious leaders and authorities, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, who only see Jesus as a threat and rise up to confront him and ultimately again want to kill him, versus the disciples who are drawn closer and closer to him. Individuals, the rich young man who comes running up to Jesus. What must I do to be saved? A great question, and yet doesn't want to hear what Jesus has to say, that he must be first in his life, and so walks away from Jesus, sad. Compared with blind Bartimaeus, who just cries out to Jesus for mercy and will not be stopped or shut up by the crowds. Pilate, given the opportunity to release Jesus, and yet bows to the will of the crowd. Versus Peter, who, yes, may have denied Jesus, but in the end was restored by him as he was drawn to him after Jesus rose from the dead. Some fall, some rise. Many would speak against Jesus. He is the ultimate sign of God, isn't he? We were thinking at the carol service, John chapter 1, the words made flesh, the signpost from God to reveal himself to us. And yet throughout his life, he was a sign that was spoken against. Some even attributing his powers to the devil, questioning his authority, accusing him of blasphemy, of claiming to be God when he had no right to do so. He was a sign who was spoken against time after time after time throughout his life. Because Jesus comes into this world to reveal the thoughts of our hearts. Everybody has some sort of response to Jesus. We all react to him in one way or another. We've heard there about some who reacted very strongly against him. And still today, there are many who react very strongly against Jesus. We've heard those who are drawn inexorably to him, to love him and to follow him. And there are many different responses in between as well. Because it's not just about how we respond to Jesus, as it were, but it is how he will respond to us that is most important. He is like that mirror, that as we look into his face, we actually see ourselves compared to him. That was what Simeon did And Simeon looked into his face, and again, Simeon was not perfect. But we know he was full of righteousness and devotion to God. And that was what was reflected back, wasn't it? Reflected back in the words that he said about the Lord Jesus. As we look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read about him in the scriptures, as we think about him, what does he reveal about our hearts? Maybe we're a bit like C.S. Lewis before he became a Christian. Maybe liking the stories, but having no further time for him than that. Putting him to one side when normal real life kicks in. Well, until we're with Simeon, in his view, the Bible says we're in the dark. Maybe this year for you is an opportunity to look into these things properly. Maybe just pick up one of the accounts of Jesus' life. There's some Luke's Gospels. You can carry on reading Luke's Gospel at the back. Maybe you want to come along to the Christianity Explored course. I believe it's now fixed for Thursday evening, starting on the 23rd of January. Maybe you want to take that opportunity just to look properly into the face of Christ and see what he reveals about you and your heart and your life. Because that is why Jesus came into this world. He came to reveal what we are truly like. And that is why Simeon talks of heartbreak. He speaks to Mary, doesn't he? And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Well, clearly there, Simeon is referring to the fact that Mary will be there, watching on as Jesus is crucified. Something no mother should have to experience, witnessing the execution, the murder of their child. Her heart would be pierced. But even Mary's maternal grief will be turned to joy when she fully understands what is going on the cross. Her heartbreak will turn to hope when she meets her son risen from the grave. She will see the need within her own heart too. That, as it were, she must be pierced because he was pierced, so that she can know the resurrection life that he rose to give. Mary doesn't get a green card into heaven just because she was Jesus' mother. She must walk the same path as all of us. The path that somehow Simeon knew as he looked into the baby Jesus' eyes. The path that begins with heartbreak, that realizes how broken our hearts are, how much in need of fixing our hearts are, that is willing to have the deepest secrets of our hearts revealed. Those things that we wish no one knew about. Well, God knows. And if we dare to look into the face of Jesus, he brings them to the surface, but ultimately not to judge us with, but that he might forgive us for them. That he might give us that hope, that expectancy, that, like Simeon, ultimately leads to peace and joy. The peace and joy of knowing that our deepest, darkest secrets are fully dealt with by the Lord Jesus. And we need fear them no more. We need fear death no more. Because that is the true hope that Jesus brings. And the wonderful Anna is a great little picture of this for us, isn't she? There she is, Anna. She's very old. Not quite sure what the details are, but it looks like she's probably been a widow for 50 years plus. No husband, no children. All those hopes and expectancies of maybe her young adult life coming to nothing. And yet she's not full of self-pity, is she? No, she devotes herself to worshipping God. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Not, I take it, about her own situation, but about the situation of her people. So at that moment, when Mary and Joseph appear with Simeon and the baby Jesus, she comes up to them. She doesn't even need to take the baby Jesus into her arms. Maybe she did. But she gives thanks to God and immediately begins to turn to all those around her and says, "This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the one through whom God will fully and finally redeem Jerusalem, his people." She knew God inside out. And so when he turned up, she was ready for him. It's a wonderful picture for all of us, like Simeon, looking into the face of Christ and finding peace and joy. Anna, seeing the Lord Jesus and delighting to speak of him to all around her. Reaching out with the wonderful good news. Just like C.S. Lewis, couldn't be shut up once he had come to know Jesus, but wanted to share his love of Jesus with others through the medium he knew best, through stories. So Anna, delighting to share her excitement, her joy, her wonder with all those around her, seeking to encourage them, to strengthen them, to cheer them on their way as they waited too. Well, today, although we know far more than Anna or Simeon knew, we're still waiting in one sense, aren't we? Christians are a waiting people. Those who are looking for the return of the Lord Jesus, for the full and final redemption, when this world will end and a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and a new earth will be brought into existence. Well, until then, we are to follow Anna's example, reaching out with the wonderful good news of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having clear sight, like Simeon, clear vision for 2020, and a sure hope of what our future holds. Because our hearts have been broken, but they've been put back together again by the Lord Jesus. And so he has brought us that joy, that peace, that passes all understanding, and that nothing ultimately in this life can take away from us, because it is kept safe for us in our Saviour, the Messiah, the baby who became a man, who died and rose again for us. Might he fill our hearts, our minds as we step into 2020. Might we be a church full of this encouragement, this comfort, this consolation, this joy, and this peace. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the wonderful example of Simeon and Anna. And Heavenly Father, we long to walk in their footsteps, to be full of this delight in the Lord Jesus, to know his joy and his peace, and to be like Anna, delighting to share all that she knew with those around her. Might we be quick to speak to those around us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please move us to proclaim Christ clearly, as your salvation, as light for the whole world, revealed through the glory that you have shone in the face of your Son. And we pray it in his precious name. Amen.